sat and sing. We're going to sing three songs together with a reading in between. I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying working through the return booklet that we were given as a resource. And this week we've been meditating on Psalm 119. And I think it's one of those psalms that you maybe don't always read because it's so long. You know, you think of psalms, but it's been fantastic reading that this week, and just the themes and the promises in that psalm have just been really encouraging. So what I've got is we have two songs to sing together, and then I've just selected several verses from that psalm which have really jumped out the page at me when I've read them, and then we're going to finish with a hymn and then hand back over to Barry at that point. Okay, is that all right, everybody?
Yeah.
Tough, really, because that's what we're doing. Let's stand together and sing. Turn my head toward your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have renewed my life. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Deal with me, your servant, according to your love, and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy.
Well, as we move into our time of communion, I'd just like to read one or two scriptures with you. The first one's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, the Corinthian church was a church that had especially been blessed by the Lord. But there were also some pretty serious problems in there as well. So, Paul the Apostle wrote to them to commend them for the way they've been living out their faith, and also to give some warnings. So really it would be good for us to learn from some of the problems that they had and some of the warnings, but without going through the same experiences, hopefully. But let's see what we can learn from chapter 11 and verse 23. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. So Paul was pointing back to a time when the Lord Jesus himself took bread. And I just want to read a few verses that describe that situation, which is found in Matthew chapter 26. And verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, this fruit of the vine, from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So Paul was pointing backwards, and he was also pointing forwards, because he said, "We, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So he was pointing forward to a time when the Lord Jesus comes again. Jesus himself is saying here, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, at this time, they were celebrating the Passover, which in turn was looking even further back to a time when the children of Israel, the Israelites, the people that God had chosen to as those who the Messiah would be born from, and had had a very difficult time over the years. There's many stories when they were subject to potential genocide or being infiltrated by other religions, other cultures, other nationalities. So the promise could well have been watered down. The potential for the promise to have disappeared, seems to have been very high potential. Obviously, one of Satan's ploys. But there was a particular time when they were enslaved in Egypt, and God had said that the people must be released from Egypt, and he'd given the Pharaoh countless opportunities, not countless, there was 10 opportunities, there was 10 plagues sent, which were opportunities for the Pharaoh and the Egyptians to recognize who God was. And they didn't take it. They hardened their hearts. So finally, God said, "My people are going to be released." But what he decided to do was to tell them to daub blood, the blood of a lamb, on the doorposts and the lintel of the house. And what he called the angel of death, which in fact was the Lord himself, would come and exercise judgment on those people. So that became then a yearly celebration of this time when the angel of death came and exercised judgment on all those who weren't covered by the blood of the Lamb. So it was a pretty serious time. So these emblems on the table speak to us of where we are, the fact that we've been rescued from judgment. So Jesus, when he took this bread and wine, he looked back to this time when God himself, and the active person of the Trinity was God the Son, the second person, Jesus himself. So he was actually the person who meted out this judgment. It's difficult for us to understand that, but that would be the case. So that wouldn't be done in a dispassionate sort of way, because in turn he would be looking forward to the time when he himself would be the sacrifice to pay for the sins of the whole world. So we're looking backwards and we're looking forwards. We're looking towards a judgment that might have been. And Paul reminds us that Jesus rescues us from the coming wrath. And the coming wrath, as we see in Revelation, is the cry of those people who say in the future, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. So this is a wonderful time, this time of celebration, of communion. It's something we do together. It's something which we do as a people of God who've come to faith in the Lord Jesus, because we recognise who he is. We recognise what he's done for us. We recognise that we rescued people. Jesus has rescued us from the coming wrath. So that sort of ends the circle. It started with judgment. It went through a period of sacrifice when the Lord Jesus himself sacrificed his own body, his own blood, to pay for our sins. That was the only thing that could satisfy a holy, majestic, sovereign, righteous God. And those who went through the Passover, the following morning, for those who hadn't been covered by the blood of the Lamb, it was an absolutely terrible time. And we need to understand that judgment is a terrible thing. We don't often talk about it, but judgment is real, and judgment is coming in the future. And it's only those who are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus who are rescued. So we're a thankful people tonight. We're a grateful people. We look to the Lord Jesus and we see what he's done. We see who he is. We see that he's able. We see that he was willing. And it causes us to worship him. And out of our worship comes our service. And that's what this vision process has been all about. Understanding who Jesus is, understanding who God is, recognizing that it's for us. He did it for us. We, in return, give our worship to him, and our service flows from that worship. We were reminded this morning that it's also a time for confession. And you may have come to this meeting tonight not feeling that you're in an appropriate place to be worshipping the Lord. If that's the case, then I could tell you one or two stories about people who have been restored by Jesus. Jesus is definitely in the rescue business. He's also in the restoration business. And if you are here tonight and you feel unworthy, don't let that stop you coming to the Lord's table. We have a time now to consider, if we're apart from him, that we can confess our sins, we can return to him in faith, we can be restored, we can move on. And that's what this is about. It's also a witness. So we have work to do with those we engage with, those we work with, our friends, our neighbours, our family. From what we've seen the Lord Jesus do, what he's done for us, it's a spur to serve him. So let's just give thanks now for the bread and the wine, and we take it together. We take it individually. We come in confidence because Jesus has done everything that needed to be done to pay the price for our sins. We come in humility because there's nothing whatsoever that we've done that could have earned it. So let's give thanks now. Our Heavenly Father, as we turn to you now, we're so grateful that the wrath of an awesome, holy God has been averted by the willing sacrifice of the perfect, spotless Lamb which you provided. Lord, we're conscious that the Lord Jesus had a rightful home in heaven with you. And yet he was willing to give that up for a time for the sake of each of us here. Lord, this bread on the table reminds us of his body that was broken for each of us. It reminds us that he loved us so much that he was willing to humble himself and lay aside his body. So as we break it and pass it one to the other, help us to consider what that means for each of us as individuals, where we are in terms of our daily walk with Him, if there's anything we need to do to make things better. And as we take the wine, Father, we're so thankful that your word tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, we know that means all sin. There's nothing that we have done or that we could do that isn't covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. So Father, as we confess our sins before you quietly now, in our hearts, in our minds, we ask you to forgive us for those things we've done, those things we haven't done, those opportunities missed, those times when we haven't honoured the Lord Jesus or brought honour to him. So we bring those thoughts to you now. And as we take the wine, we give you thanks for everything that the Lord Jesus has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
A vision, a communion with God. And part of our response in worship is to give from what God has given to us. So we're going to send these bags round as we continue to share what God has been doing in response to the vision. And if you're able to give to the life and work of the church, that's great. So we want to just reflect a little bit on the vision and how it's being implemented around the life of the church. My vision is to get people to sit in these seats. It's a passion that I've got. It's been around. Oh, Andy, you're just such a servant. Yeah. Actually, it's quite a big thing because people do come in and they sit at the back, and when people come late, it's extremely difficult for them to find a seat and to get in, and really quite embarrassing. So unless you're one of these people, you've just got to sit at the Hey! Oh! But generally speaking, not just tonight, generally speaking, if you could just come forward, if you come early, that really will help in the life of the church. Well, what is vision? Vision grows, someone has said, from a dissatisfaction in things as they are, and concentrates on what might be, what could be, what should be, through the power of God. Vision grows from a dissatisfaction with things as they are, and concentrates on what could be, what should be, through the power of God. So as I said this morning, if there are any areas in your life where you're feeling dissatisfied in your walk with God, that's where vision begins. If there are areas in the life of our church where we should be dissatisfied, that's where vision begins. And I gave the example of Nehemiah this morning. He got some information. We read about it in Nehemiah chapter 1, about the walls and the gates in God's city, Jerusalem. They were all broken down. And this is what we read. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah is thinking, this isn't right. I'm not satisfied with this. This is God's city. And the walls are destroyed and the gates that have been burned down. He's dissatisfied with the situation. But he doesn't let the situation overwhelm him. He doesn't concentrate on the problem. He concentrates on God and on God's greatness. So he prays to God, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant. So he starts in communion with God. And as you know, from that vision of God, that vision of God's greatness, incredible energy was released. It took Nehemiah and his team just 52 days to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, even though there was incredible opposition. Well, I've had a busy week. I was in Atlanta, Georgia earlier this week, and I flew back yesterday afternoon. And these meetings I was at in Atlanta were sort of last minute organized. And I had already planned 2 years ago to be at a church in Bolton last night. So I flew into Manchester at 3, and I had to preach in Bolton at 6. And it was a very interesting contrast, because one of the reasons I went to Atlanta, or it wasn't really a reason, but I added it on while I was there, was to preach at a church in Atlanta last Sunday morning. And this church was about 200 5 years ago. And then they got a vision of what might be. They saw areas of need in Atlanta, and they started getting involved in the community. They got involved amongst the homeless. I was amazed how many homeless people there are in Atlanta. They got involved amongst the drug addicts. They got involved in parenting classes. They got involved in marriage preparation classes. They got involved in a multitude of things. And the community began to see that they were really interested in them as people. And they started coming along to the church in huge numbers. And they've recently bought a warehouse on an industrial estate. It's a huge warehouse. And they've divided it into four sections. There's a sanctuary, something like this, but much larger. There's an office section. There's a youth section. And there are counseling rooms as well. And 1,600 people worship at that church today. That's a church with a vision. Then I came back to Bolton, a church which I've been going to. I haven't been for about 15 years, but prior to that, I was going to quite regularly. It's right in the center of Bolton. And when I used to go 20, 25 years ago, there were 500 children in the Sunday school, and the church was full. It was full last night as well, but it was full because this was their 100th anniversary, and they'd come from all over the place to celebrate with them. But I asked during the tea, how many people are worshiping here today? 18. 18 people. How tragic. Church that lost its way, somehow lost its vision. I looked around, it was doing much the same, even on its 100th anniversary, that it had been doing 20 years ago, having no impact in the community whatsoever. Some people don't like change, do they? I wish I could have had all the people in our church who don't like change with me. Last night would have been quite a challenge, quite a lesson for us. So, how are we getting on in the vision here? Well, we concentrated our vision around three words beginning with C. One was communion. We want to grow in our communion with God. And what have we been doing to try and help us in that area? Well, we've been using this booklet, 30 Days to Easter. We spoke about that this morning, and we saw that a large number of people are actually using that booklet, and we're very, very grateful to those who put an awful lot of work in to get that material for us. Then we had that day of prayer a couple of Saturdays ago, and that was just a great opportunity to come together as a fellowship and to wait in the presence of God and to speak with Him. One of the things we've really been concerned about as elders is that we might engage with God and His Word. I think a lot of people come to Hebron because they feel there's good teaching here. And that's very, very important, to have good teaching of the Bible. But it's so important to really engage with what God is saying. So it's not just something we add to our store of knowledge, but it actually becomes a part of our lives. We obey as well as hear. And part of our vision has been to try and help people to engage more with Scripture. So every Tuesday we have those questions which go out by email for you to think through what's being said in the preaching and teaching the previous Sunday. Every so often we have an Engage Cafe. I don't know whether you've been part of this. I love them when they come. Just go through next door, grab a cup of coffee, sit around the table and start talking about the teaching which we've just received. That's one of our passions, to get people to really engage with Scripture. Now the second word we concentrated on was community. Becoming more of a community of God's people, more of a body together. And we were hearing this morning about Mums in Touch, which has got a new name now. What's it called? pray and play. That's great, isn't it? We were hearing about Pancake Tuesday this morning, which was a great day, actually. I really enjoyed it. Still trying to recover from Pancake Day because there was far too many pancakes. And that was great for a community. It was great for us. It was also good as part of our reaching out into the community as well. A number of people came in for the first time. And of course, vision is not just the new things. Vision is really concentrating as well on what we've been doing for years. The get-together lunch, that's a great opportunity to build community in our church. Emeritus for the older ones amongst us. I think I qualify, I haven't been yet. But the older ones amongst us, they get together every so often. So there's various ways in which we're trying to build the community of this local church. And then, of course, a very important part of our commission was the commissioning of all of us. We, for many years, when somebody's gone out on the mission field over there, we've got people to come up here and elders have gathered round them and they've prayed for them because the mission field's over there, isn't it? Well, we've been recognizing, of course, that the mission field's right here. The mission field's where you live. The mission field's where I live. The mission field's where you work. And so we've been trying to commission the whole church over the past year. We've been commissioning educational workers, health workers, office workers, and so on, so that everybody senses they're part of the mission of God in this city. That's at the sort of the heart of our vision. Well, we're going to look at a few spotlights now, and I'm going to ask Luke to come first, and Luke is going to talk to me about the youth work here at Hebron. Luke, how many young people approximately do we have in our fellowship at Hebron?
I'll have to count them. One, two, I don't know, probably about 30.
30 young people, what a privilege. Just tell us very briefly, sort of, what do you do with the young people over the normal course of a week?
We have several events for all the young people. Our major events are our Bible study. We have one on a Wednesday for the older YPs, which is school years 10 and up, and then for our younger YPs, which is years 7, 8 and 9, on a Sunday morning. In addition to them, we have like prayer meetings and social events, like Friday Night Youth Club. So we have quite a few events in the week. In addition to that, I assist and Anthony assist with NISCU, which is they go into schools and do Christian lunch clubs and after school clubs and stuff, so we assist with that.
Great. So Luke, what would you say is your passion for the young people of this church? As you try and lead the work amongst young people here, what's your passion? What's your vision for these young people?
I think it's quite simple. I want to see young people saved and I want to see young people discipled.
Great. And have you got any examples of fruit that you've seen over the past years?
Yeah, I think we've been really privileged at Hebron to have such a good bunch of young people. And we've had a few people get back to us when they've gone away. We've had a few emails. I've had a few like phone calls and conversations with people who have actually thanked us for the work that we've put into the young people. We've got Sam Harper on Logos Hope doing... he's involved in the outreach on there. We've had Andrew Richardson, who's currently the CU president at Glasgow. I never understand them titles. They sound a little bit posh. But then we've got John Caslin, also known as Wiggy, who's just finishing up being the CU outreach person in Durham. And there's loads of others. Esther, my own little sister, she is in Wales in the part of a youth organization called Revive, getting students to do youth clubs in loads of different churches in the valleys. So,
right. And you've had Kerry over the past year, mm-hmm. but Kerry's no longer part of the team. Tell us a little bit about Kerry and how she's doing today.
Kerry's over in Albania, studying at Cape and Ray. She wants to be a missionary over in Eastern Europe. Feels God's called her to there. So she's over there at the moment. She's doing well, I think, last I heard from her. And she was involved helping us with the girls and with the younger YPs particularly, and Aunt Harrowby, which Caroline Hetherington has now taken over as such, part of the Harrowby team. So
Hebron Youth Ministry is sort of reaching out across the world now, huh? Lovers Hope, Albania, many other places.
If you want to have a look at where we influence, I guess, you can come into my office and I have a photo of all the young people. And when they graduate, I've got a map of Britain, Carlisle and the world, and you can kind of see where they all are.
So. Great. Anything else you want to say to the church at this time?
I think there's one... in my weekly schedule, there's a problem that I have, and that is I have to shut the doors in the face of some young people that I've spent a long time investing in. In the area of Harrowby, we do children's work, and we've done that there for a few years, and each week I have the job of being the bouncer and opening in and filtering in the children, so then the team there can help run that activities. And there's some that become too old to come to that event, and I have to shut the door in their face, even though they want to come in, and I can't provide a youth club for them because they don't have, I don't have the resources, I don't have the people to do that. And then also last week, one of the guys I had to shut the door in the face of, actually, he snuck in, he got in because they're quite nippy, and he caused a little bit of mayhem. And I finally was able to get him isolated away from the group in another room. I had to call his mum. And it just highlighted to me that there's such a need for a church in Harrowby. And so I'm struggling with that, you know, putting so much investment in these children's lives and then just dispelling them out at the end, and there's nothing for them. So.
Well, we might come back later to the thought of the need of a church in Harrowby. But right now, what you need? What do you need to be able to respond to that situation? How many people do you need? What kind of people do you need?
Well, the Harrowby team for the Tuesday night it's a great team. They're all doing an amazing job. Caroline's heading that up, and she's doing an excellent job. And we're really thankful for Pete and Caroline and assisting us in that area. But a youth club, it'll have to be a new thing for immediate need with Harrowby. We've also got a need for, actually, a petrol bank. The NISCU worker there has gone on maternity leave, so she's unable to run that lunch club, which is on a Thursday. And we started that off. We initiated them to go in there, and Kerry ran that. And then when Kerry left, Hannah Scracefield, the NISCU worker, she took over that, and now she's on maternity leave, and we can't cover that club, so that's an immediate need.
So anyone who has got a vision, a passion for youth work, and would like to help Luke out in that youth ministry in Harrowby, they can come up and see Luke at any time.
Yep.
Thanks, Luke.
No worries.
The work we have amongst young people and amongst children, yeah, please come, Mike. The work we have amongst young people and children is absolutely vital in the church here. And I think many, many people join our church because of the work amongst children, Kids Zone, and the work amongst youth. So we really do want to appreciate and celebrate and thank those who work amongst the children, work amongst the young people, such a vital part of our church life. And a major reason why many people choose Hebron as their church, where they want to become a part of it. Mike, we're hearing here a little bit about need for workers. Tell us a little bit about what's on your heart.
Amy, that's quite loud. For those of you who don't know, I'm chairman of the youth advisory team, so we sort of help organise and work with Luke to advise him and the other leaders and resource them. One of the things that's come up is the Bishop of Carlisle is looking to train new young leaders, and they're starting a gap year program that's just getting going this year, and next year is going to be expanded. And we as a church have decided that we're going to be involved with that. So we are going to take a gap year student next year who's going to help out with the youth work and be involved in the life of the church here. There's going to be training from the diocesan, training people to put input into that young person, and they're going to be mentored here in the church, and they're also going to be working alongside Luke and other people in the church. This is going to be happening next year, starting in September. We're signing up for 1 year, but it is going to be a rolling program, so if it's successful, we will carry on with that. So, things we need. We need a church family somewhere in Carlisle who can put up a young person, 18 to 21. You will be paid pocket money or expenses to help you feed them, because having got an 18-year-old, I know how much they eat. To support them while they're away from home. And also prayer for the citywide activities that this team of young people can take place with. Most of them will be placed within churches, but we're also hoping to do citywide activities to outreach into the city with the young people and with these gap year students. So do pray for that, and pray for how those people can really learn to be what it's like to be part of youth work in a church and reaching out into the local community.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Mike. And that's a very exciting project, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay, good. Right, well, we want to be reaching out into the community, and one of the ways we are reaching out in the community, which I don't know very much about at all, is through Sally's allotment. Sally, I thought you were a doctor, not a gardener. So let's find out a bit more about Sally's allotment. Where is Sally's allotment?
Right, we have an allotment in Botcherby, and the reason why I can do that is because doctors are paid so much. So I can work part-time, and then I can do this work voluntary. But I've got an idea that we just came up with at the back there. Three new C's that are linked to the allotment: cauliflowers, carrots, and cabbages.
Okay. Keep going, Sally. I'm learning. Yeah.
So, right, we've got some pictures coming up here. Amy, take us back to the first one, perhaps. Fantastic. Right, this is a plot in Botcherby, surrounded by a housing estate that's a fairly run-down estate. And this is what it looked like 18 months ago. And we took it over in April last year. And as you'll see, it's changed over the year. A little bit more about that we work with, we've got a small team of volunteers, and we work with probationers. And these guys have come out of prison, and they're living in a hostel. So they've been in the prison environment for a number of years. And then we're sort of trying to work with them, using this as a very powerful way, I think, of working with people. And as you'll see, we also produce some vegetables. And I was going to bring along some vegetables, but the only things we had were some fairly ropey Brussels sprouts. So not great.
No. This is absolutely brilliant. So I know you the half. This is fantastic.
So we've had a really good team of volunteers coming along, and part of the aim of the project really is to have a positive environment for these folk. Yeah. And Amy, if you don't mind just going to the last PowerPoint slide with the quote. So this is, I think, a very good quote from Alison McGrath, which really sort of sums up what I think our project is about. Where does church come into this? We actually run this project through something called Cumbria Reducing Offending Partnership Trust, which works with churches. There we go. It's called Cropped. And if we go back a photo, we've got our merry gang here, and I think you'll see someone there who's not been in prison. Or at least not that I'm aware of.
We haven't checked him out.
We haven't. So we've had lots of help from church, and just really grateful for folk that have been involved. And we've got Roger's Wellies down there. Other folk have given us a lot of support. We've got Andy's dad coming along and helping us with some pruning and things right. Like digging and that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's grown a flower or two in his life.
So my prayer for the project, my vision for the project would be that this would be a powerful way that we work with these guys, we're all Christians that are working there, and that we would have opportunities really to share with them God's love.
Isn't that absolutely brilliant? Huh? Isn't that just what the church should be part of? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. People who want to get involved, what do they do? Just see you?
Yeah, anyone that wants to come along and see what we do down there, that would be fantastic. You don't have to be a gardener. You don't have to be big and muscly. Just look at me. We'd just love to have folk coming along and coming alongside these guys and being, as I say, sort of positive influences in their lives. We'd love any tools that you don't need. We'd love manure. So if you have manure, we'd love it.
So you can bring it to church and just give it to Sally.
Yeah. Okay, take it home and bike.
Thanks, Sally. That's absolutely brilliant. Do you do back gardens? No, it's okay. Right. Okay, well, we've been getting our men together over the last year a little bit. The ladies took the lead. Thanks, Rob. The ladies took the lead with our ladies' weekend, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that. But the guys are trying to catch up. And, Rob, we had a men's away day, did we not?
We did indeed. I think the women had already had 4 weekends away before we managed to get a whole day together.
Yeah.
But yeah, we met together. I think there were, correct me if I'm wrong, about 50 or so guys from the church came along. And we had a great day sharing breakfast, very important together, first of all. Opportunity to get to know each other better. A few exciting activities, a bit of hill walking and kayaking and that sort of thing. Yeah. And then also we had a speaker who came and sort of gave some inspirational teaching, and it was a good male bonding session all round, I think.
Right. So, smashing. Yeah. Something we're probably going to repeat sometime? Yeah.
Hope so. Yeah.
And it's one of the things which has started recently in the church is a young dads group. So lead us on and tell us a little bit more.
That's right. Once again, the women really took the lead with Mums in Touch, now renamed, and I meet up fairly regularly with Johnny Bainbridge and Freddie, and we were chatting around a sort of a fathers with feelings kind of group. We thought it might be appropriate just to acknowledge the fact that we're very sensitive, and there's been a bit of a baby boom going on in the church, and we wanted to really do something for and with the guys. A lot of us, I guess, at this stage in life are very busy work-wise, busy with young families, and we found that our wives all knew each other within the church and sort of other churches within the city very well, but there's a bunch of guys really would just sort of have 5 minutes or so on a Sunday. So there's an opportunity to work on the whole sort of community aspect. And we found that there's a need within the city. We've got guys from other churches coming along, even as far as sort of south of Penrith. There's a guy's been coming up from there. And at the moment we're meeting together sort of once a month or so, having a bit of teaching. Howard Newton's in the middle of a mini mega series. He's leading us through, and we've got Peter Quant coming to speak to us on the 27th to share his testimony. And also through the Just Walk Across the Room series that we did, we were looking at opportunities of how we can reach out to some of the other folk who live around us, our neighbours and things. So what we're looking at doing is organising a sort of a rolling programme of activities. We have some very gifted people who can do things like mountain biking and go and watch football games, and people who own paintball guns and all this sort of thing. So a really easy opportunity to invite our neighbours along and say, hey, there's a group of guys coming out mountain biking. Do you want to come and join us? And use that as an opportunity to outreach to folk around us.
Fantastic. So it's community, but it's also reaching out as well.
Outward looking, yeah. And I wouldn't say it's exclusively young fathers either. Our sort of visions crept a little bit beyond that.
So I might even get in sometime.
Maybe, yeah. You speak nicely.
Good, thank you very much, Rob. That's very, very exciting to hear. Now, Johnny Rook, please come and join me, Johnny. And we want to hear more about some of the outreach into the community. And I'm going to ask Johnny to speak to us about two things. First of all, Botchergate. Who has ever walked up Botchergate after 11 o'clock on a Friday or a Saturday night? Please raise your hand if you've ever walked up Botchergate. You know, it's not a confession. After 11 o'clock on a Friday night or a Saturday night, it's one of the most exciting places in Carlisle, I'll tell you. And for a long time we've thought, why did God put us here, you know, in Botchergate, with all of this happening around us? And over the last year or so, we've found part of the answer to that, Johnny. What do you do on a Saturday night, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock?
Well, just before I answer that, there are three communities around Hebron. There's a daytime community, which is workers around Botchergate. shop people, etc. There's a residential community, people that live within a 5-minute walk of this building, quite a few thousand people. And there's a nighttime community, and these are people that obviously work on Botcher Gate after, say, 9 o'clock. And so what we're trying to do is reach that community, the ones that are out at night time when most of us are in bed.
And how do you go about it? What do you do?
Well, can I show you?
Please. Especially if there's real coffee.
Well, there is, yeah. This is our tools of the trade, very simply. We come out with some flasks full of hot water. And we have tea, coffee, and soup. So we've got oxtail here, Peter, okay. Vegetables, chicken and veg. Sometimes I have tomato or minestrone. So, if you don't mind, can you pretend to be a nighttime reveller?
Sure.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well done. So, are you having a good night tonight?
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah? So, what are you doing? Are you off
I'm just off to that Australian pub walk about, yeah.
Do you want a drink?
A drink?
Yeah.
In the pub, yes.
Yeah, no, but it's free.
Oh, free, right.
It doesn't cost you anything.
I'll have a coffee.
We don't have any alcohol, I'm afraid. It's just tea, coffee, soup.
Free?
Yeah,
free. Amazing.
Free. And that is really it. I mean, it sounds a bit simple. That's okay for me. So that's what we do.
Wow.
And it's quite an impact, just being on Botcher Gate. We go out in all weather. It's been going about a year now. We first started, it was -4 the first... It was virtually February time last year. -4, it's very cold. And you do get some strange looks. You know, people look at you and think, what are they doing? And when they find out it's free, that's another opportunity to explain what we're doing. We're not overtly evangelistic. We're not really there to say, hey, we're from church, we're Christians, believe in God. We're just there really just to have an impact. And the main impact we've had is actually with the regulars. And in terms, when I say regulars, I mean the people that work there. So we've got to know the door staff. We've got to know the ticket sellers, the party hats and flower sellers. Mm. And there's also, just in the last few months, we've started to reach out to a few homeless people as well who are about under the arches there.
Brilliant. And we've actually seen some people on a Sunday evening in the church here who you first contacted on the street in Botcher Gate.
That's right. And even this morning, there was a young lad who popped in. Didn't come to the meeting, but he wanted to see Graham. Mm. We've started to hopefully encourage people to say, look, you know, there's all... And we actually talk about the activity of the church. We speak a lot with young mums, that when they find out Hebron has Hector or other children's things, they seem quite interested. Right. And we've given out some information.
Brilliant.
On that.
Okay, you need a few more workers, do you?
We do, yes. We need women, basically. Right. So we've got quite a lot of men in the church, one or two here, but certainly John Hetherington and Burnt over there.
Yeah.
He seems to pop up in all sorts of things, doesn't he? They're the kind of sort of stalwart. We've got one or two other guys here as well. There's a few students from one or two other churches that come. But we do need a few women. The reason for that is that part of the idea is to open up the cafe more. Now, we haven't been able to do that partly because we don't tend to have enough females. And, of course, if we do get females coming into the cafe area, we want the balance right between men and women.
Right.
So.
Now, the city at Christmas is really busy. So
it is.
God gave some vision to you to respond to that, John.
That's
tell us a little bit.
That's
about
right,
that.
Yeah. At least 2 years ago, got a real sense that I was just getting caught up in what Christmas was about, which is, you know, eating lots, getting lots of presents, seeing family, and kind of forgetting that we've actually taken Christ out of Christmas. And so that led on to lots of things. Got talking to a few people, and we decided that we want to put Christmas back into the city, and that's what we call it, Christmas in the City. That we wanted really just to have a presence, a church presence within Carlisle at Christmas time. And so obviously we got the leaders together and we started talking about that. And within about 2 months, we went from this idea back in about September, and on the 17th of December, we obviously hit the town centre. And we had the vision of just praising God. Many through song, but we wanted to serve as well, so we had the free gift wrapping and again free drinks. And the feedback from that was, when people started talking to us and engaging to us, the thing that hit them most was that the churches
all working together. Mm. And I think that's a really interesting sort of viewpoint in the fact that there is a perception out there that Christian churches do not work together. Mm. And I think it's our responsibility to dispel that, really.
And we're doing it again?
We're hoping to, yes. Andy's organised a meeting with the leaders in April. And I got really excited what Davina said this morning about, you know, serving some disadvantaged families. Mm. And that was at the heart of what we were doing. We were hoping to do something very similar this Christmas, but it just didn't happen because of commitment issues, etc., and time scales. So I would really like for everyone just to think about and pray about that, you know, Christmas time coming up, the churches around the city, we could get together and we could serve on our doorstep, both practically and also spiritually as well. I think it's really important that we do what Jesus did. We give them bread and fish, and then we teach them about God.
Mm. Amen. Well, often when you go up to open air meetings in the city, you feel embarrassed, don't you? I went up to this and I felt proud to be part of it. They did it really well, and it was just great. And I hope we can repeat it next year. Davina was talking to us this morning about one of the Outlook groups here who heard about a disadvantaged family in the city, and they collected some funds together as part of the Outlook group, bought lots of presents and stuff, wrapped them beautifully, and looked after one family. That's great. But there's more than one family in need in this city. And I'm wondering if that's something that we can expand and maybe work with other churches and maybe see all the disadvantaged families in our city having a great Christmas. That might be something that would grow, eh? Thanks, Johnny. You looked as though you had more to say, but
No, that was enough.
Great. Okay, ladies, it's your turn. The ladies have been leading the way, and we're going to hear about the weekend that they've just enjoyed. Do we start with a DVD? Start with a DVD. Thanks, Amy.
Deeper, deeper, carry me deeper, I ask you. Wow, what a weekend we had. The weekend was about God, it was for God, and we invited him to be centre of that weekend, and he did. We had an amazing time, and stories are just starting to come out of how God has used that in people's life to move them deeper with him, and the way that relationships between ladies have just grown and got deeper together as well. All of the activities on the end bit there are all through in the main kids' own room. We're going to leave it there for 2 weeks so that it's all self-explanatory. We like to do things simple. And please get involved. Yeah, there's loads of activities. Get involved with them. Jenny. And there's another bigger activity that Jenny's going to tell us about.
Hello. As part of Deeper, we had a bit of a project. We wanted an art project, something very creative, which I'm not. But Judy and Vari put together a project. You might have seen on the screen, it talked about free to be broken and broken to be free. And with Ruth and with Miriam, we went through some sessions of lies that either we've been told in our lives or by people, or that we just believe because of the circumstances around us. And we went through those lies, and we also exchanged them for truth then with God's scripture and the truth that he loves us, and to replace those lies with truth. So Judy and Vari came up with this idea of writing down all the lies on a piece of paper and putting that in the alabaster jar that they created out of cardboard, I think, and then replacing them with jewels that we then write the truths on that God has exchanged for the lies. So for any woman who wasn't at the weekend, we wanted to make sure that you felt involved in this, because you might not have been able to come because there was too much going on, or you just weren't able to, and we didn't want it to be just a weekend about the women who were there, but about all the women of the church. And any women who even come into Hebron, whether it be Hector or anything, but that they can have this opportunity to seek out the lies that they've been told and get rid of them and replace them with the jewels. And then Vari and Judy, after we finish these, are going to put it together into a piece of art that the whole church can then appreciate. So if you want to do any of that, it's all very self-explanatory. As I said, you write on a piece of paper all the lies, and then you'll have an opportunity to write on a jewel that you can decorate yourself, piece of paper jewel, and decorate that, and then they'll put it into one piece of art all together, and that's through in the hall as well. So if you want to join us in this project, that would be brilliant, because I think it'll just be an amazing, beautiful piece of God's art of all of us and what God does in our lives.
Jenny, thank you very much. It seems as though you had a great weekend. Eh?
Oh,
yeah, you're really making it tough for these guys.
Lagging sleep.
Yeah. You're making it tough for these guys. We're catching up. You're starting getting creative now. And I can't see the guys getting very good. I've just one question.
Yes.
Did my wife behave?
I have no comment.
No comment.
No comment.
Whenever I let her out of my sight, I get worried. Well, actually, at the end of the weekend, a song was sung that Wim hasn't stopped talking about ever since the weekend. And I'm going to ask Debbie and Caroline to come and sing that song for us. Amen. Beautiful song. She'll be embarrassed for me to tell you, but written by our very own Debs. Isn't that right? Beautiful, Debs. Fabulous. Right. Brother elders, come and join me at the front. So this is some of the way we've been seeking to implement the vision over the last year or so. But we need to know where we go from here. And as I said earlier, when we're talking about vision, we're not just talking about the new, but we're talking about doing what we've been doing and seeking to develop that and do it better. And part of the vision of this church is to teach God's word. Stu, you've got some vision, I think, for where we might be going with teaching in church over the next year or two.
Yeah, okay. Just one thing to say, can I just make one personal kind of thing? For me personally, just over the last few years, just to say one thing I've been discovering. I mean, Andy has used a phrase, and Peter's used it once or twice, about it's all about Jesus. And one of the things that has been on my mind really is this sense of dissatisfaction in my own personal faith, I suppose. And so verses in the Bible like Jesus saying, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full," and those kinds of things. And for me, it has become this sense of it's all about Jesus. And what that means for me, if you're anything like me, that's a little bit of a woolly phrase. Sorry, Andy. And I'm a very kind of a logical kind of, and I need to hang my hat on something. And I think looking back to Adam and Eve in the garden, they had perfection, and what that meant was that they had perfect relationship with God. And that's something we can one day look forward to. But here and now, does that mean I have to live with dissatisfaction? And I hope and pray that it isn't that I can find, for my own faith, the satisfaction of knowing God intimately. And the verses in the Bible like that we might get to know him, whom to know is life eternal. And verses in the Old Testament as well that talk about gazing and dwelling and seeking after God. And we live in a world that is broken, and we live in a world where people are searching for reality that God never intended for their lives. And the reality for each of us is that we are intended to know God who created us. And we can have that relationship, and it's only through the Christian faith that we profess here, and that we can know for ourselves where we truly commune with God, and we are not doing it on our own but with each other, and that we can take that out into a world that is lost and that does seek things in the wrong places. What was your question?
Amen. You've got some vision for the teaching of the church for the next year. Too.
Yes. So, and a few months ago, I broke my arm doing some of these young man type activities, yeah. And know your limitations. And I had a little bit of time out, and I guess I was at home quite a lot. So I was revisiting things that I knew, but that were fresh because I had the time, and everything was normally 100 miles an hour. And it just made me think, and we were talking amongst ourselves. We often come on a Sunday, and I've been in the team that's planned Sunday services for a while, and we run series and we do various things on in terms of the teaching in this church in a morning and an evening. And so one of the things I'm thinking through is whether there is in, let's say, a rolling period, a 3-year period or whatever it might be, things that we ought to know, things that we ought to be told, to be taught, things that would be good for us to always be revisiting, so that as we come to this community, if you're here as a student, or if you're here in the children's ministry, or wherever you are, if you're here as an adult, but in a period of time, there are things that we should be teaching, and so that there's a flow, so that there's an impact in all the areas in people's lives that God wants to speak into.